Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show. Happy New Year, and welcome to Season 3.
Happy New Year, Episode 1, Season 3.
2023. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening to your podcast. Jump onto our Snowy's Camping Show Facebook group. As well, if you haven't already, there's a nice little thread in there about where people went camping or traveling over Christmas and New Year period. So that's been nice to see that people have been out and about.
I haven't caught up on that. I've only just got back to work today, but I haven't caught up.
It's all right. Don't rub it in. We are doing something a little bit different today, talking about or taking advantage of that whole New Year, New You, New Year's resolution concepts and applying that a little bit to our camping and outdoor adventures for 2023. So we've got a special guest with us today, or an interviewee, to talk about building your outdoor and adventure, or having a camping and outdoor adventure bucket list. So
we do. So we've got online Mariska Threadgold. How are you, Mariska?
Hello. G'day.
So where are you calling us from today, Mariska?
I'm based in Strathalbyn in South Australia. So it's sort of on the Fleurieu Peninsula on the back of the Adelaide Hill. So
awesome.
Just a good location. 5 minutes out, and you're, in the farmland, but close enough to Adelaide. So, yeah, great location.
Funnily enough, it's closer to us than most other interviews we've done yet. We've still got technical issues and a little bit of a delay with the video here. So we're trying to work around it. We try and improve that each time, but I think we're good. That's where I grew up. We had a conversation before, Strathalbyn, pretty little spot in the hills there.
So what do you do with your time, Mariska? Tell us a little bit about sort of yourself and why, I guess, why you can talk to us about bucket lists.
Yeah.
Sure. So I'm Mariska Threadgold, and I'm a writer who will thread gold through content. I'm an SEO copywriter, so I do travel articles and I do content marketing, and I specialise in camping, four-wheel driving, and tourism. But more importantly, I'm an absolutely mad keen four-wheel driver and camper, and, I love travelling around Australia. I'm a bucket list ticker, so that's really important for me, and I try and focus on hopefully encouraging and inspiring people to get outdoors, to travel this fantastic country of ours, and also to tick things off their bucket list throughout their life, not to perhaps wait till, people get to retirement age. I try and encourage people to do it through all stages of their life.
Mm. And so I guess, I think we all know someone who's like, oh, yeah, when I'm retired, or when the kids are at a certain age, or when X, Y, and Z happens, that'll be the right time to do this thing that I want to do. But I guess is there ever really a right time, do you think?
No, I don't think there is ever a time that's going to be perfect. And, I have a bit of a saying, people say, oh, when all the ducks line up. But I think if you actually wait till all the ducks line up, they're going to be dead or you're going to be dead. So, I think there's always going to be a bit of a risk, and there's always going to be a time where you need to make a decision and make a commitment to travel. I don't think it ever gets handed to you on a silver plate that, hey, this is the perfect time.
So. For sure. So why do you – you have a bit of personal experience with knowing the importance of a bucket list. So do you want to give us a bit of a background of how you came to being a bucket list ticker?
Sure. I was actually born in Holland, and my parents immigrated to Australia when I was 5. So this story actually starts a little bit with my parents. My parents had to come over there,
okay,
and they had to have a skill that Australia needed. So my dad was a plumber, and he came out and he had a guaranteed job in a big construction company. So for a couple of years, that was all cruisy. And then almost overnight, the construction company shut their commercial kitchen arm. And my dad and mum had to start a business overnight. So they worked really hard, new country, new language, to build this business. And after about 2 years of hard work, they finally felt able to take us kids on a holiday. All right, so it was our first real holiday in Australia. And they hired a little on-site van in Lear Valley, right? Mm. It was a massive adventure for us. But that was where our love affair of camping started, and then four-wheel driving not long after that. Because mum and dad had this business, it's hard to get time off because, obviously when they're not working, they're not earning money and they had all their customers, a lot like most people with holidays. So when they really got into four-wheel driving and camping, they dreamt big of Cape York and Kimberley, Western Australia, trips around Australia. But they felt it wasn't possible with having time, with this business.
Yeah.
So we did go on some really great adventures. We did, a few weeks, 3 weeks in the Vic High Country. We travelled the Fink River out to Old Andoto Station. And probably by the time I got to high school, I travelled more of outback, certainly South Australia, than most of the kids in my class. But mum and dad's dreams were always that granddad dream. They were going to travel around Australia. Now, I think we know where this is going. My dad sat in the doctor's room and was told, I'm sorry, you've got 6 weeks left to live due to liver cancer.
Wow, okay.
6 weeks.
He basically went on and had a little bit of palliative chemotherapy, and that gave us a bit more time to say and do a few of the things that we needed to do. He spent a lot of time talking, to me and my younger sister about what made him happy. And what made him happy was always those camping trips, those silly things we did in four-wheel drives, and we got bogged in the high country, and it's what he remembered, right? He also had some time to perhaps look at some of his regrets, and with hindsight, if he'd known that he was going to have, less time than he thought, he was saying he regretted not making those other big adventures happen. That trip around Australia, that Kimberley trip, the Cape York trip, it was great building a business up, and, he was proud of working that hard. But in hindsight, he's going, if I'd known, I would have made those other things happen. So Dad passed away at home. He basically lasted 6 months from that first diagnosis. He passed away at home. They did manage to have one final four-wheel drive camping, or I call it a pseudo camp, before he passed away, because he was too sick to set up his camper trailer. But they went over to Kangaroo Island and they hired a little basic shack on the beach, and they even managed to do a little bit of a four-wheel drive still. Dad was so high on painkillers by this point that he probably shouldn't have been driving a shopping trolley. But anyway, he passed away. Life went on. I got married to Mark. I met him in a four-wheel drive club. We had a 2.5-year-old son. I'm pretty well a stay-at-home mum at that point. I was doing some part-time work. But I kept thinking, I worry about running out of time. My lesson from, what happened to my dad was, hey, nobody knows what's happening in life. So one day Mark comes home from work and he hasn't even put his briefcase down. And I say to him, hey, what if we sell the farm, we quit jobs, and we travel around Australia? And he says, okay. Now, I wasn't actually ready myself. I hadn't thought it through.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking months of that choose and throw, and the pros and cons and the financial effect of selling the house and quitting jobs. But, he was on board, and 6 weeks later we had our house on the market. And 6 months later we basically were technically unemployed and homeless, and we travelled around Australia for 10 months. Now, we had the most amazing adventure. Wow. We swam with dolphins and seals, and we kayaked with dugongs, and you swim in waterfalls. Ben, you've done some of this adventure as well. We had helicopter rides and flew over bits of Tasmania. So it was just fantastic. But the thing that's really good was actually spending time together as a family. And, Jaden doesn't necessarily remember locations, but he can remember some of the experiences. So, we saw turtle nesting in Exmouth, and he can remember some of those things. And he also remembers some food things. Mm-hmm. So he will remember, a rainbow ice cream at perhaps Monkey Mine. So it's funny how with little kids they remember sometimes the food or the experience more than the location.
How old was he when you travelled?
Yeah, so he just turned 3. And it was just a fantastic time to be together as a family. I will say it's not easy. Like, you know, there are times that we were ready to kill each other just about, because you sort of you're living in a glorified tent on wheels. You know, it's hot, there's flies, there's, you know, your toothbrush is in a toiletries bag every day. So there are challenges, but the things that you see and do together were just fantastic. We then came back. We got a job. We got a house. Jaden went to school, and we had these fantastic memories of this trip. Now, a few years later, I myself was actually diagnosed with breast cancer. I've got a bit of an average family history, so I was very lucky it was caught early. But when I started my own treatment, my happy place, you know, when I was in the absolute worst of my chemotherapy, my happy place was all those memories from that trip, you know, those walks in Carrageenie and the, you know, swimming at Ningaloo and all of these things were what sort of kept me in the right frame of mind. I also had some sort of sense of peace and satisfaction because we had done these things. Now, my dad seemed to have regrets. He'd done some, you know, four-wheel driving and some of his bucket list items, but not necessarily some of the things that he really wanted to do. So for me, there was not necessarily that sense of, if this is my time, I feel like I really haven't lived. I actually had a sense of satisfaction that we'd done this and we'd built a family story around that experience. So if it was, you know, my time, that story would live on, those photos would live on.
Yeah.
I also gave me the, you know, extra push to do everything I could to get better, to try and stay in a positive frame of mind, because I wanted more camping. I wanted more, you know, to explore more, to spend more time with my family. So, I think that's why I like to try and encourage people to actually do things in their bucket list, because you don't know. We all know somebody who's passed early, who it may not be that they've passed away. Sometimes your health gets in the way and, you know, it might be your knees go and you can't do all those walks anymore. So I think, take the risk. You know, you can't take it with you. You might as well, you know, spend some time and money actually doing those experiences, because they're the things that matter ultimately. You know, if you're at that point, they're the things that bring you happiness and joy. So,
Yeah.
So have you always had, when we talk about a bucket list, like have you actually got like a physical written list of places that you tick off, or is it just a mental sort of bookmark that you, and did this start, it sounds like your bucket list probably started at the point of your diagnosis, or have you always had kind of this list of places you wanted to get to?
I think I've always had that little bit of a sense of adventure because, you know, from growing up with a camping family and four-wheel drive family, I've always had places I wanted to go. But then more so with my dad's experience, that's probably where I then started to write down a few things. Mine's more a bit of a, you know, mind map or a bit of a pretty cloud rather than a list. Recently I think it's more I just know what I would like to do next. So it's not so much a list of 50 items anymore. It's more so, you know, these are the next few things I would really like to try and do. It's more so a little picture rather than a list as such.
All right. So that's probably a good segue into the next.
Yeah, like section. What is what constitutes as something that's bucket worthy? And I mean, how specific should you be? Should it be like, I want to go to Uluru and see the rain on it? Or should it be something more like just more of a general category or a type of experience that you want? So there's a bit of flexibility in it.
Because some things aren't necessarily achievable, are they? Like if you set things too high, then you might not really tick it off. Like, do you have simpler things so you can tick off more items?
Look, I think it's a little bit of both. There are certain things that I think you do need to be very specific about. So I'm not sure how you'll go with the rain on Uluru. That might, you know.
It's quite specific.
A girl can dream.
You might be waiting for a while. But,
yeah,
you know, there are certain experiences that I think you do need to get quite specific about. So, for me, when we travelled around Australia, I really wanted to go swimming with the sea lions at Bear Bay. So that one was quite specific, and we sort of worked in around that to make that happen. I think sometimes other things that you want to do, it might be you want an experience of, it might be I just want to try abseiling. So you might not specifically want to do abseiling in the Blue Mountains in the, you know, a certain gorge or whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
It might be more of an experience. So it really depends on what floats your boat a little bit. Like there are certain things. I'm going on a nice big trip in May, June. We're going up to doing the Kimberley and the Pilbara. And awesome. This time for me, horizontal waterfalls was something that was I have to do. So that is something that we've now programmed to tie in even with the best tides. That sort of was a bit of a focus on that trip. But for some of the rest of the trip,
it's
swimming in gorges. But, you know, there's so many gorges up there that it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific one for me. So,
No, that's a really good point. And I totally understand what you mean. And I think sometimes, I mean, we'll touch on this a little bit later, but when I went on our last KI trip, I was really specific about all of these things that I wanted to do. And then when it sort of push came to shove, a couple of them I couldn't do because of bushfires, still, even though it was 2 years later, it still hadn't recovered and things like that. And it really made me sad. Like I was in a real, like, I wasn't in a foul mood, but I just was really, really flat because at that stage I was like, not sure when we'd realistically get back here and, you know what I mean? So I think in that case it was maybe a little bit too specific because I'd managed to do all of these other awesome things that I wanted to do and there was maybe one or two that I didn't quite get and that sort of did put a bit of a downer on things. So I do like your idea of being a little bit more general with some things.
Yeah, I think you just focus very much. You've got to have some flexibility, and particularly in our country, like you said, you know, it's bushfires. For us, the first time we did around Australia, the Gibb River Road was closed very late in the season because there was late cyclones. So that is something I'm hoping to do. Of course, at the moment, there's a lot of flooding up that way, and it's record-breaking floods. So we're not sure. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But it is a lot earlier in the wet season, so I'm hoping it'll be okay. But yeah, there'll always be things that you say that's a must do, and then there's other things that you just have to go, you know, be a little bit more flexible. And you know, there is always a going back opportunity, but it might be at a different stage of your life as well. But you know, and you might do things differently. As I suspect, this trip that we're doing. Later this year, will be a little bit different. You know, we might not necessarily do quite as many of the full-on hikes. You know, there'll be other things. We'll still do a lot of hiking, but we may not do the really full-on hikes. Just, you know, you get to a point where knees and ankles start playing up a little bit more. So
you're at that point now, a bit, aren't you, Benji?
No, I'm all right. Just managing. Just still trying to perform at a younger age than I'm at. I too was hoping to do the Kimberley this year, same as you. And I'm looking at the floods now, thinking, is that going to happen? But we're seeing friends this weekend, and we're going to have a chat to them and maybe have a plan B. So we're still achieving something. But you know, there was a moment of like, that was a big thing we were going to do, and that might not happen. But you know, that's kind of how it goes, isn't it? You've got to manage those changes and maybe have a backup plan on your bucket list that you can switch to. If you plan the time off, you might as well have an alternative to go to, especially nowadays with all the flooding and fires and everything. Some of these remote locations can change, you know, with very quickly with the change of weather, whether you can get there or not.
So imagine you're somebody who doesn't have a bucket list at all. right, and you're sort of thinking, oh, I listened to Ben and Lauren and Mariska the other day and I think I want to start my bucket list. Is it just a matter of sort of sitting down and writing everything that you can think of and sort of going from there, or is it more just looking at maybe the year ahead, or how would you approach actually starting to formulate a list?
It's a lot of fun, I think, having that brain dump of, you know, all the things you'd like to do, and that can be quite fun. And I think it's important to do that individually, as well as if you have a partner or a family, bring that in. But sometimes it's easy to forget. Sometimes there's something that you might want to do that doesn't necessarily float the boat for your partner. So I think it's important that you get your own list and then maybe start combining it and having a look at, you know, where the matches are. But once again, you need to be realistic about it. Can be very overwhelming if you have this list of 100 things that you want to see and do. You then need to perhaps look at what is it that I really think I would like to do. And I have a little technique. It may be a little bit morbid, but it does, I think, help to focus that bigger bucket list. And it comes back to my experience and my dad's experience. So once you've got your list, I actually think you need to ask yourself, okay, maybe if I knew I only had, say, 5-6 years left in life, if I knew that, what would be the first thing on that list that I would want to do? Because if you knew that you only had that length of time left, you'd make it happen. You would find a way to make that happen. So I think you'd look at your list and then go, okay, I want to swim with the whale sharks at Ningaloo, right? And if that is that one thing, then start going back and going, okay, add it to your calendar, put the details in and work out, can I put money away for that once a month? Or, you know, certain things you might be able to get done in 6 months or 12 months, but I do think it's important to just prioritise things a little bit and, yeah, ask yourself that question. It's not morbid, it's just being realistic, because you need to perhaps focus a little bit, and putting those details in the calendar really starts you heading that way, doing the research about how am I going to get there, how much does it cost, you know, how far ahead do I need to book for some of these experiences, just really helps that process of moving on to that experience. So, yeah, whilst definitely have a big list, but then start focusing on what is that top one, what is maybe the next two or three, or can I combine a few in one particular trip? So.
I think that's a good way to stay focused on what you really want to achieve. Does that help you? Because I know you've got a note here that says bucket list overwhelm is a real thing for Lauren.
Yeah, because
I have that, because Taryn,
totally is.
My wife, will write down a gazillion things that we're going to do, and I look at it and go, am I going to have time just to sit in the beach and watch the sunset to fit all these things in? So
yeah. For me, it's more like sometimes I panic, like, how am I physically going to fit all of these things in? Because I really do want to do them all and I don't want to run out of time. And so it sort of gets to a point where you're so overwhelmed because there's all these things that you want to do, and then you sort of don't necessarily end up really doing them because you can't sort of prioritize, or you can't look at it and make actual real steps towards achieving it. And so from our perspective, we often will, you know, go away once or twice every month or two and make a priority of popping away for weekends, but not necessarily achieving any of the larger, more sort of significant trips or things off the bucket list because of that exact thing. It's really hard to pick something and then take the steps to do it because of that overwhelm. So yeah, that's some really good points there.
Do you find yourself, Mariska, ever saying you can't do everything?
Look, I think I'm a bit older than you guys. So I must admit, I have probably got to that point where I have realized I'm not going to do everything, because also I think when I do cross something off my bucket list, I tend to add something back on as well, and that's fine. I think if you know, you can keep putting things on, and I think that's just part of life. But I have come to the realization when I've travelled around Australia, there is so much to see. And I imagine if that's one country, imagine if you if your focus was overseas. You're never going to see it all. Like you will never see it all. And I think you just need to perhaps prioritise what is important for you. What is it, whether it be locations or experiences. And once you start feeling like you're getting to some of those bigger bucket list items, I think your panic will come out of it a little bit because you feel, hey, I'm actually working towards that Ningaloo trip and I can see that happening. So I think that you, rather than maybe thinking I'm not getting anywhere, you start accruing, you've done a few things, but also you can see that you're working towards other things. And I think that takes the panic out of, that overwhelm with your list as well.
Yeah, just pick one and make it happen. Just get started.
Yeah, well, I can resonate with that from when we travelled as well because it's ridiculous how much stuff, and WA in particular just surprised me with how much you can do in WA. It just keeps on giving. And it's not all on the map. It's not all in the brochures. Quite often you're just driving and you see a sign to some national park that you knew nothing about. But you just can't – we said it all the time on our trip, we just can't do it all. But like you said, Mariska, there's things that we knew we wanted to do. And if we tried to do all the other bits in between, we wouldn't have spent time focusing on the bits that we did want to do and getting the most out of those. Mm. And I haven't come back thinking, I wished I'd stopped at that national park or checked out that roadside stop or done this or done that. That's not a regret of mine. I enjoyed the trip that I did. The kids loved the experiences that we had because we spent time focusing on, I guess, the bucket list items that we knew we wanted to do.
Mm.
That's my...
Yeah, that is your thing. Although admittedly for me, very much doing a year lap or possibly even more if you could get away with it is definitely something on my bucket list because that feeling of when you are just going away somewhere for a weekend or a long weekend or a week or something of... being on a, like having a time limit and having to be on a schedule and having to be home at a particular time in such a short matter of days, sometimes it's just so, so crushing because you just want to stop and you just want to look at everything and you just want to swim there and then you decide you want to stay here for a bit longer because it's nice and it just, I'm looking forward to one day having an opportunity to do that.
It is good when you've got extended trips.
Yeah.
So
I want to know what's actually on your bucket list. What is on your bucket
my
list?
My bucket list? Well, as I mentioned before, the Kimberley was a plan of ours. We didn't do it on our big, on our 4-month trip because we weren't set up for really remote travel at the time, but we said, we'll come back. It's a trip on its own. Like you can spend a lot of time just in the Kimberley. So that was a plan for mid this year. But as Mariska said before, there's major flooding up there now. Mm. So I don't know what that means for middle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was if I look at this year, that was this year's big trip.
Yeah.
Back up for that is we've said for many years we've got friends on Kangaroo Island. We've been over for short trips, but we want to take a week or two on Kangaroo Island and do a trip there. So that would be our backup thing.
Okay.
So that's kind of this year's goals. I'd like to – I think – quite often we have a bucket list that just says, I want to camp more, right? And I think that's a bit general because it's not quite, you can't really tick it off. Did I camp more last year? Well, I did, I suppose, but I camped more in one sort of concentrated period where we were traveling, but I didn't camp more across the entire year.
Mm.
So I think I'm moving to more like I've just got one or two trips aimed for the year. So that's my bucket list for the year.
I think maybe that might be a little good segue into monthly mini buckets.
Looking at Mariska.
Do you think?
She's not responding. Do you have a short-term bucket list like that you work with?
Because the monthly mini bucket thing is your thing, right?
Or was that Mariska's thing?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, we as part of, I think, going through the whole adventure, well, I'm not even going to call it adventure, the COVID and everything for the last few years, we – got to a point where we said, okay, we need to look at some short-term goals. And I think even what you were both saying about, go camping once a month is something that we now bring in every month. So that is the first one that we do. And I think you've mentioned it on a previous podcast that camping can get quite addictive and it's, it's very beneficial for your well-being as well. And we get to a point where you need a fix. Like, you feel like, I haven't been camping, I need a fix. So what we do it 12 months ahead. We look at our calendar and we choose, we have a look, when have we got holidays planned? We have a look at the months that have a long weekend in them. And then you get all these months that don't. And we book 12 months ahead, we put a weekend in there and then we go camping. Okay, it's just a Friday and a Saturday night. You know, we go locally. It doesn't have to be far. We've got lots of national parks within a short distance, you know, or, you know, within a few hours that we can get to from where we are. And that just gives us that regular camping fix, I guess. So we do that. The other thing we do, we've created, and it's not necessarily even camping related, we have what we call a little day out. And this relates back to our bucket list, you know, because we do enjoy getting outdoors. We enjoy driving. I'm also a little bit of a foodie. So for me, food experiences while we're traveling is a lot of fun as well. So with our little day out, it consists of three things. We have we go for a drive, we have a walk or a hike, and we go and have some food. Now, what we try and do, we take it in turns organising it. So it's a bit of a surprise for it's a bit of a surprise for the other person. We try and have variety. That's cool. So if we can, we go for a drive that we haven't done before. Or what we've done a few times is, like, the only way to get somewhere is on a road we travel quite regularly. We actually have a look at Google Maps and we make a back roads. And it takes us probably three times as long to get somewhere. But we go along all these roads that are really not far from home, but we just never drive along. It's, you know, dirt roads. So that adds a bit of variety. And then with the food, it might be breakfast at a cafe. Yeah. It might be we bring a new recipe for a picnic on a hike. Sometimes it's a hike that we do. Sometimes we've gone, had a look. We did a walk around the old Adelaide Jail. So sometimes it's actually exploring, you know, a structure. Other times it's actually really getting outdoors in nature and doing a hike. But just having that regular, it's something to look forward to, and it makes you feel like you're doing something fun because there's that element of surprise from, you know, what's the other person organising. Afterwards you actually feel like your weekend's not necessarily all, you know, tasks and you haven't achieved much. Going into the new week, you feel like, hey, I was out there doing a hike. I, you know, had some time with my family and I enjoy it. We make that. We do that once a month. We book them in about six months ahead and we really try and defend those days. So that relates to our bucket list of, you know, at least getting outdoors and, you know, we do enjoy a bit of foodie fun as well. But maybe if somebody's big bucket list item was to take their kids to Disneyland, right, could your little day out be that you go and explore a different outdoor playground once a month? You know, you take the kids to a different playground each month. If you're really into art and one day want to go to the, you know, the Louvre Museum in France and have a look at the art galleries there, can you once a month make it a half a day where you go and explore a regional gallery or you get the paints out or the pencils out in a outdoor location? By booking it in, you tend to make it happen a little bit more. And if you can get, you know, if it's yourself and maybe some friends or your family or your partner, if you can get a bit of commitment from other people, it's, you know, it's easy to do. We do ours Saturday morning. That way we don't chicken out on a Sunday when the, you know, the mowing and the laundry is still up here. Yeah. And, that's, we've been doing that for about 8-9 months now and it's really, we're enjoying it. So.
It's amazing what you can find too when you take those back roads just in your local area, the things that you look at and think, I did not know this was 20 minutes, half hour from my door. We've got a, you know, in that one little adventure, you've then created another adventure for the next time because you didn't know that was there on the way. So.
Yeah, totally.
Do you listen to other people with their bucket list? Because I think I find if I'm listening to what other people say, quite often some people who have really big items and are always traveling and always ticking big things off, you can get a bit deflated because you're like, oh, I haven't done any of that. So I tend to try not to keep up with other people. I just focus on what I want to do But, I mean, maybe people are looking at us and thinking the same thing, so we should just keep ticking our own list, I think. What do you reckon?
Look, I'm probably a little bit the same as you, Ben. I think the bucket list should be very much about what you enjoy and what you want. And, yeah, for some people that is that overseas travel. For some people it's, you know, full-on extreme adventure experiences, and for other people it's locations. So it is nice to hear when people have done something. I think that is great, but I think sometimes it can be overwhelming. And the other thing, and you've probably both noticed this as well, when you travel, there tends to be this traveller's grapevine that you come across, and you know, you might be, I don't know, you pulled in, you had to go to caravan park to do some washing, and you pull in, and you know, these people are talking to you and saying, oh, you know, have you been here? Have you done that? And it's like a bit of a badge of honour almost. And sometimes people will tell you, oh, you've got to go here. It's the most amazing thing. Get there,
yeah.
And it's like, this is not, you know, this is really not me. It's not that great. And other times you will come across some gems and people will say, hey, look, we did this and it was fantastic. But I think you've got to try and stick to your own lane with what you know you enjoy and what you and your, you know, your friends, your partner, your family enjoy. Because, yeah, it can be, you can look at someone else who's ticking lots of other things off, but if they're not things that you're into, it's really not what you'd be wanting to do anyway.
Stick to your own lane.
I think, stick to your own lane. That's great. And I think also social media probably has a lot to answer for in this context as well, because I know from my own personal experience going somewhere that I've seen on social media, and also to be fair, in like travel magazines and highly stylized stuff, and rocking up and being like, checking, you know, this definitely the, and it was the right place, but it didn't,
it's not photoshopped,
didn't look anything like what it was in people's social media posts and in the magazines and stuff. And it was still really cool, but there were other things on that same trip that we experienced that were way, way better. Yeah. And we put a time and energy and effort into going to this thing because, you know, oh, looks so great on social media. So I think that sort of can sometimes trap you as well. And then also when you go to those places, there's like a million other people. So I don't know what you're like, Mariska, but Ben and I are a little bit like off the beaten track, where there are less people, sort of find your own little bits of magic, as opposed to the places where everyone else goes. So,
yep, absolutely.
So, in terms of finding inspiration for your bucket list, obviously you're taking things that people say with a grain of salt, and also sort of for social media. How do you sort of come across the things that you might like to do? Like, am I sort of asking that question properly? Like, where do you get your inspiration from in terms of the physical things that you want to do on your bucket list?
I'd certainly agree with you with social media. We'll do a bit of research. Some of it we do get just, you know, because we've been – there's certain things that you hear about, like, anyway, so you know that it's something that you want to do. Interestingly enough, for this trip, you know, we have watched a few social media, you know, videos about the area. And at one point, Mark, my husband, he said, I don't want to watch any more videos because I don't want somebody else to spoil the experience for me. And you're right, because often when you see it through somebody else's lens, it almost takes away the experience, and you're expecting something, you know, and even the weather can make a difference, or the amount of people that are there can make a difference. So we'll do a little bit of research. I do love Wikicamps in terms of trying to find some of these little secret spots. We will talk a little bit on the road to some people. But we also try not to get into that trap of just constantly listening to other people telling you, you know, you've got to do this. We do find the visitor centres can sometimes be quite good, because you can go into them and go, hey, look, we really like the off-road experience and we prefer less people than, you know, than a glitzy experience. Mm. Sometimes, as long as they're local, and usually they are in a visitor centre, that'll be when they can actually say, oh, look, you could try this one. This one's going to be more quiet. And, you know, sometimes they'll tell you little snippets or secrets that aren't necessarily readily available to other people.
That's so true. Great advice, yeah. And I feel like visitor centres are such an underutilised resource these days, because everybody can just pull their phone out of their pocket and Google something and get that information. Mm. But it's not the same, is it?
If you get the right person at a visitor centre and just enter into casual conversation, it doesn't have to be structured questions, just casual conversation. Yeah. It's amazing what you can find from that local if they're just to open them up a little bit and talk about the region that they obviously love because they're working at the visitor centre. So yeah. You can find all sorts of gems that way. That's great advice.
Yeah, for sure.
Bucket list fails. How do you do you, if you have a bucket list fail, Mariska, do you just kind of dust your shoulders off and move on, or do you dwell on it?
Look, it'll be this trip this year. Like if the Gibb River Road's closed, do believe then that's that second time we've tried to do it. And, of course, you do often need to plan these things ahead. You know, it's for us, it's an eight-week trip. So it's not something that you can just go, oh, we'll do it a little bit later in the year. You know, you sort of plan holidays and time to go and do it. So it will feel perhaps a little bit like I think I'll be disappointed. But on the other hand, sometimes when things don't happen, you actually experience other things that you wouldn't have done that you then go, oh my gosh, that was just amazing. Mm. And I wasn't even going to do that. So I am a little bit of a, you know, I do believe sometimes in a bit of fate that things happen for a reason. And sometimes it's there's actually other experiences that you're going to have. So I don't think you should ever look at it as a fail, because I think you get other experiences. And that doesn't mean that you can't maybe plan to do it again, you know. But, yeah, certain things take a lot longer to put into practice or to, you know, set into motion.
Yeah.
But, you know, that if we don't get there this year, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be able to do it down the track again. And there'll be other – we'll do other things. We'll go to, you know, other locations and have a great time, so.
Good one.
Well, I don't know about you, Benji, but I'm really hoping that the Gibb River Road works out for Mariska this year.
Yeah. Well, I want to go too, yeah, so I'm hoping it's open.
Well, for both of you.
Friends, yeah.
We'll pray to the camping gods.
So there we go. That's right. I'm going to go to KI if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Hit me up about that.
I'm all out of questions. But,
me too.
Hey, Mariska, is there anywhere people can read about your adventures? I know you have a copywriting business that you write for other people, but do you write about your adventures as well?
Look, I actually don't do a lot of that at the moment. I have just started a blog with the business, and I will do a bit more of that, you know, as I'm traveling around. Some of the articles I've written have been more in publications, so, you know, particularly four-wheel drive publications. Mm. So there are a few of those on my website. I have got some links to some of the articles that I've written. I do hope to add, you know, my blog will be, yes, a copywriting, but it will also, I will be adding a few more of my actual, trying to inspire people and adding more of that. Particularly my goal with this business is hopefully to build it up so that then I can travel more from a, you know, generally as long as you've got some internet connection at some point, you can actually do this in a lot of different locations. So that's what I hope to do. And, yes, I will be doing more of that, but most of my stuff has been in other publications. So there's a few on the website. So
I think a little birdie might have told me that we might be getting some blog articles from Mariska for Snowies sometime this year as well.
I think so.
Maybe. Yes. So
keep an eye out for that.
If that's the case and you're not signed up to our newsletter, do that, because whenever we have new blog articles come out, they'll be notified in our
email,
in our Wednesday newsletter as well.
So what's your website, just for the viewers in case they're interested?
So it's basically my name, so www.mariska, M-A-R-I-S-K-A, threadgold, T-H-R-E-A-D-G-O-L-D.com.au. And, So then you go to the blog and that's got a few, and actually you could go to the portfolio and that's got some links to the articles I have written. So
cool. So sweet. For those who want to follow,
we'll put jump some on there. Links in the show notes as well.
And that was quite probably one of the more deep and meaningful interviews
we've
had.
We haven't really
had,
done
I think,
a D&M before.
Philosophical and
yeah, but I enjoyed it, and I'm sort of feeling like I want to go home like right now and like refine my list a bit and start working on something.
Well, I've taken from it to think like it's not morbid, but you know, if I've only got a few years left, what would I do? The music's just started playing in my ears and it's thrown me with what I was going to say, but stay in your own lane.
Yeah.
Focus on the things that really matter. Don't try and do everything. It's probably the three things I've taken from this. So hopefully that's useful for our viewers.
Thanks so much, Mariska. Thanks, Mariska. Really appreciate your time today, and we look forward to seeing more from you in the future.
Okay.
No worries. Mariska. Take it easy.
Have a good day. Bye.
Great. That's season one. Episode one, season three. Great. Wrapped up.
Episode 301.
Conversation about New Year's
resolution. Yeah, I really enjoyed that chat, and I actually am feeling quite inspired now to actually refine my bucket list and make things happen instead of just talking about
them. We didn't think we'd talk so long about it. But that was good, yeah. I'm going to refine my bucket list to manage and achieve.
Excellent.
Cool.
Thanks for tuning in again, guys. We will see you next week.
See you later.